The psalmist reminds us of the truth of our relationship with our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Let us stand as we are able and share in the words of our call to worship. God alone is our refuge and hope, our shelter and protection. Let us worship God together.
Please join me in hymn number 361, How Firm a Foundation.
Friends, our God envisions a world where all are seen and heard and valued just as they were created. For all have been made in God's own image, love eternal. Please remain standing as you are able to remember aloud who we have allowed ourselves to become. God of grace and clarity, we neglect to pray for people who are overlooked, unnoticed, hidden away by policy, corners of our minds, of our society, of our world. We fail to give thanks for people who look us in the eye and name the darkness of our humanity.
We turn away from our own
vulnerability as if not seen, we make it not so. And we turn blind eyes from those who need help instead of working to see them with the eyes of your love.
Your different way of seeing. Grace and clarity, your different way of seeing, so that we might truly look at those we need through our eyes.
Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. I declare that in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Truly in God, we are freed from enslavement to temptation and sin. With such freedom comes a deep sense of wholeness and joy and peace. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share that peace with all you meet, beginning by nodding or waving to those around you. Let us pray. God, source of all light, by your word you give light to the soul. Pour out on us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that our hearts and minds may be opened. Amen. I will be reading Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 10. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant."
Melody, you are in middle school, right? So you're not a little kid. Thank you. Blessings on all of God's children. So, I like to read. When I was young, I'd keep a flashlight under my pillow. Once tucked in, I'd cover my head with the blankets, you know how it goes, and I'd turn on that little bitty light, and I would read until I fell asleep with the book in my hand. Yeah, sound familiar, anybody? Yeah? You think Mom ever caught me? Don't know. I still read well into the night. Sometimes you just hate to stop in the middle of a good story. But that's what we did last week, actually. We stopped in the middle of Luke's story. You'll remember how Jesus had attended his hometown synagogue, where the priest invited him to read scripture by handing him the scroll of the day, which just happened to be Isaiah. And not only did he read Isaiah's words, but he added his own interpretation of them for everyone to hear. And it's those words that bring us into today's reading. Listen now as we hear God's word from Luke chapter 4, beginning where we left off with verse 21. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. And there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman, the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It should not be surprising, my friends, that those Nazareans wanted to push Jesus over a cliff. Not that there really are any in Nazareth. I don't know where Luke found that one. You see, Jesus actually went on the offensive with them. You know, sometimes I think that prophets go out looking for trouble. No one asked Jesus anything that would prompt him to quote the old proverb, "Doctor, heal thyself." So why does he bring the idea up now? And then he begins remembering how prophets are not accepted at home. He even offers no less than Elijah and Elisha as examples. If I'd been in that crowd, I'd have been offended. And this after he'd read Isaiah's holy words and spoken on behalf of God to God's people. Those gathered at the synagogue that day had to believe their Savior had come in the form of a hometown son, Joseph's son. Pretty big deal. They'd been in awe of that man, at least until he began to subtly let them know their long-awaited Messiah wasn't just to be at their beck and call. How dare he infer that he was to save people from other tribes, too? After all, didn't Jesus belong to them? True, God did send Elijah to help a Zarephath widow who worshiped Baal instead of to starving widows and children of his own people. But on top of that, Jesus reminded them that Elisha did not cure Jewish lepers. He cured a Syrian leper. Weren't the people of Nazareth, God's children, as good as the people of Capernaum? Shouldn't he be working miracles for his Nazarene friends just as he had there? Why did it feel that Jesus was shaming the people of his hometown? You can almost see the wheels turning in their heads. They thought he was saying that the Hebrew people were somehow less worthy than those outsiders. Well, his words could be heard as an insult. If you believe God is only for your own kind, that you were God's favorite child, and no one else deserved God's care. Prophets, always calling their own people to task, always speaking the hard word. Perhaps Jesus should be thrown into a dark, dank cistern like young Jeremiah would one day be after he spoke out for God in ways God's children didn't like. But let's think about it. Was Jesus really shaming his own people? Could it possibly be he was simply trying to illustrate times when their forebears acted on behalf of the poor, the blind, the widows, the oppressed? Was he saying a person's nationality or ethnicity did not matter in God's sight? Was Jesus saying God is for all people, including the people of Nazareth? If so, then wouldn't Jesus be for all people? Wouldn't his ministry serve everyone in God's name? That is a lot to consider. But it seems that with this event in Jesus' life, God was doing something new. Jesus had been an insider in the Nazareth community. Now, through these prophetic utterances, he was turning their world upside down while turning himself inside out and becoming an outsider. Prophets are God's instruments who speak God's truth to everyone. And here, the prophet Jesus is proclaiming God was no longer the property of the Israelite people, if indeed God had ever been so. Such news is jarring when you've always expected life to be as it had always been, that God would always be your God, always on your side. Nope. God was breaking forth good news in a whole new way. Just as God had done with Abraham when he was promised a nation of descendants as numerous as the stars in the skies above. And just as when Moses came down from the top of Mount Sinai with those tablets of stone. And when the Israelites were first marched off to Babylon and then returned to a desolated land of milk and honey. God's good news is often delivered in unexpected ways and through unexpected messengers. If the Messiah was to be a battle-tested warrior who arrived at the Jerusalem temple on a great white horse, Jesus certainly did not fit that mold. And his words will never sound as if they were written by a smooth-talking PR firm that always puts a happy message on a client's banner. God is always speaking to us, and God is always speaking to us in unexpected ways. Perhaps, even now, God is unveiling good news to the world. Been a little choppy out there lately. But could that be what this pandemic is shaking loose? Good news? Could there be good news in the ever-decreasing numbers of church members throughout Protestant denominations? I'm not sure. But I believe God is working through these hardships to revise the world and the church. This kind of good news from God isn't what we ever dreamed would happen. I kind of think, that instead of what we're seeing, we've always wanted to make God's story fit our expectations. What's happening out there isn't what any of us want to see. We want to go on living just like we used to. That's how people are. None of us like change. We at least want to know what God is doing and what to expect next. Is that so much to ask? I so wish that we could know how and when all this turmoil would end. I so want us to feel the refreshing breezes of the Holy Spirit and sense our faith being renewed. Life has been so jarring of late. Where is the good news in this new creation of God's? More often than not, when I'm reading a book that's the least bit suspenseful, I get antsy and don't want to read anymore unless I know how the story will end. Yeah? So I flip to the second to last chapter and skim through to the end. I just need to make sure that my favorite characters are going to get through okay. We can't do that with the pandemic. We can't do that with the state of the Protestant Christian church, or even with the future of this congregation. We do not get to read the second to last chapter of God's book before its time. But based on the ancient stories of our faith, we can know two things. God is doing something new, something wonderful, something amazing, filled with love. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, our prophet, our priest, our king, God is for us. Yes, God is pretty much for the rest of the world too, and I hope that will not let you feel shortchanged. But you see, from the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus always sought out the lost and the lame, the neglected, the outcast, the sinner, the poor, the broken. It didn't matter where they were from. The Gerasene man possessed by demons, the Syrian woman at the well, even the lepers who'd been thrown out of their own hometowns. He was for them all, and he was still for the people of his own tribe. People like the bent over woman at the temple and the Pharisee who snuck out in the dark to ask Jesus a question, and the lawyer who wanted to know what he had to do to gain eternal life. And Jesus is for each one of us. No matter where we fall on the spectrum of faith, whether we are male or female, 9 months old or 99 years young, poor, captive, blind, oppressed, Jesus is for us. Always was, always is, always will be. We just have to trust in God's goodness. Since the beginning of creation, God is forever doing something new. Those things may or may not feel comfortable to us, but no matter what, God is for us, even as God is for everyone else. And it's okay. It's okay that God is for us is truly good news. So with that idea unfurling in our hearts, we can find the strength to face the unknown of life after this pandemic subsides. And with that news singing in our souls, we can find ourselves comforted that even if things aren't as they were before, we will discern purpose and meaning for ourselves as Christ's body. Jesus often spoke in prophetic ways, using words that don't necessarily make us feel good. But his words are for us to listen to and to learn from. For Jesus is for us. For us. After all, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." God is for us. Thanks be to God.
Please turn to hymn number 319.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. Us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who is the Father, is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge the baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We have had many prayer concerns this last week. I will try and lift up as many as I can think of and know of. If I miss someone, please recognize that it is not because I do not care. Sometimes I simply don't know about them. Sometimes I'm human and I forget. Let us gather our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. O God, we are grateful for life and all of its gifts. Crisp, bright January days and clear, cold, moonlit nights. The love of families and friends, and especially this opportunity to worship you on such a day as this. We thank you, too, for being brought here together to worship you and through worship, prayer, and study, become closer with you. Hear us now as we lift our hearts to you. In this time of upheaval and uncertainty, we pray for the church, your body on earth. We pray for churches of this presbytery, Norwich and Nottingham, Sharon and Roseville. Lord, we are saddened that so many people have walked away from sharing faith and community with other believers, and that so very many others have never been given the opportunity to find a place for you in their lives. Help all your churches find opportunities for us to share our faith with them in ways they can understand and identify with. We pray for the leaders of nations around the globe. We pray you will guide the minds of leaders in lands that allow their citizens fewer freedoms than we have in this country. We ask you soften their hearts and cause them to seek not to impose their ways upon people, but to share justice and peace with their citizens. We pray for the youth of the world who cannot live with their own families. Their way in the world is harsh, but much more so is their innocence and lack of understanding of how to survive and thrive on their own. We ask that you help to find loving guides for them, to help them on their way and give them courage and strength for the living of these days. We lift up to you the frail and the elderly who are unable to leave their homes and who have few visitors, if any. Open people's hearts to their needs and guide them into relationships of service and love that will keep these folks safe away from those who might prey upon their loneliness. We pray for those who are ill or suffering. May they feel the comfort of your loving care through the ministrations of caregivers and families who love them. We pray especially for Julie and Jane, Bill, Sally, and Jim, Arlene, and Kathy. We pray for joy that Dave is here today after his knee surgery. We pray too, Lord, that all of these people will sense your presence in their lives and be comforted knowing you journey with them as they heal and their bodies are mended. We pray this in the name of Jesus, whose love knew no bounds and who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
My brothers and sisters, today we heard of Jeremiah, whose lips were touched by God, and who took messages of hope, sometimes a little harshly, out into the world. And we heard of Jesus, who again, as prophets do, shared God's messages through his lips. Things that people may not have wanted to hear, but needed to. Darn his hide. But he did it with love. He did it knowing that God is for all of God's people. And that includes you. All of you. God is for you. Remember that as you go out into the world. Share that message. Use your lips to be the prophets of a God who is for everyone. And go knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit goes with you each and every step of the way. Amen.
know, sometimes I think back when you first came to us and all the work you've done. It's amazing.
Thank
really.
You.
Because you were an organist.
I,
you were
right.
A pianist.
And I still and don't really kind of be like, I mean, I attempt.
Yeah.
It's
you
a
do
monster.
A great job. Well,
yeah.
I don't know about that, but...
You are. You're good.
I think you are.
Never be available.